I'll be talking mainly about verses 1 through 7. We'll read through the whole psalm. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant who trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all those that call upon your name. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are thy any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest Sheol. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a sign for good, that they who hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to open the Word of God. And we thank you, our Father, for the working of your Spirit. And may he work this morning in me, Lord, and in the hearts of your people, that the Word of God may go forth, that it might accomplish what it will, that it might lift up your people, that they may walk closer with thee. So we commit the time unto you now, giving you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm 86, entitled A Prayer of David, which there are other psalms, okay, which David has also prayed through. And as a matter of fact, Psalm 17 is also entitled A Prayer of David. You may recognize the verse 8 of Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. I was talking with a brother earlier, and he says that he reads through the Psalms and he picks out portions that would help him in his own prayer life. And we find that David's main objective was that he would continue to get closer and closer to his Lord. Through each and every day, through every circumstance, through every difficult situation, through every joy, there was always room for David to praise his God. And there was always room for him to get closer to him. So I think there's much for us to learn about prayer from the example that he has left us here in Psalm 86. As I studied David's prayer, I asked myself a couple of questions as I meditated on the verses. I asked, how is this prayer different from the way I pray? And are there any likenesses of this prayer in my prayer to the Lord? You know, if you're like me, you think about the prayers in the past and even the prayers of today. And I come to realize that most of my prayers are about me. Those closest to me. What's happening in my life and in their lives right at the present time? And those things that are going to be pleasant to me. When you read David's prayer, it's similar. He does pray for himself. But it's very different in a way that he's always looking to see what it is that's going to please God. And if it was going to please God, it pleased David and it pleased his heart. The psalm reveals in the way it's composed also that David must have spent countless hours allowing God to speak to him. For he zeroed in on a few things that seem to mean the most to God, and he stays with them. You know, I was thinking about that. Most of my prayers, we pray, and we leave it at that. We don't take time for God to speak to us. You know, I was thinking about even our families and our children. Most of us here, whether a child or have children, how would you like it if the children did all the talking? That they poured out to you their complaints, their moanings and groanings. They're asking for things, never allowing you to say anything back. After sharing those things, they just left abruptly, only to return and have the same requests and the same things that are on their minds. What kind of relationship would that be? I thought to myself, it wouldn't be much of a relationship at all. The Lord wants us to hear him. He wants us to spend time in silence before him. In Psalm 46:10, we're all familiar with the verse. It reads, "Be still and know that I am God." Just be still. Stop running around. Stop speaking. Stop the thoughts that are going through your mind. And let me speak to you. A very important part of, I believe, what David did in his prayers. There's also a verse in Matthew 17, in 5, it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear him. You know, it's good to pray the scriptures. It's good to read the scripture in the morning and let the scriptures speak to us. But in order to do that, we need to have the time to sit. We need to have the patience to wait on God and let him speak to us. The Psalm 86 easily divides into three sections. And like I said before, we're going to be spending our time on verses 1 through 7, which I entitled, "O Lord, Do I Lift Up My Soul?" The next section is verses 8 through 13, which speak to me about, "You alone are God. Teach me thy way." And then 14 to the end, which I've titled, "Give your strength unto your servant." So verse 1, it says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me." It speaks to me of God, of giving God his rightful place. It reminds me of the instruction in prayer that we get in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus teaches us, "Our Father, who art in heaven." But it also teaches us also that we would take our rightful place. For God is above and we are below. It's a humble place, a place where we open our hearts to him. For I am poor and needy. Poor, lacking in something, and or without the ability to provide for myself. And needy, waiting and ready to receive that which will nourish me in what is lacking. Is there anyone better than God Himself that knows what each of us need? And is there anyone more ready to provide those things for us? You know, knowing our true state that we are in, we live in a country with so much. In a lot of cases, all of our needs and most of our wants are taken care of. And because we have been taken care of this way in a physical realm, I think it can cloud our understanding in the spiritual realm. What is it that we need? We think we have everything. I was reminded of the verse in Revelation chapter 3 that talks about the church at Laodicea, where he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I think sometimes just because of our surroundings, we have a difficult time understanding the true state that we are in and how much help we really need. As time goes on, it would seem almost to me that the Word of God can become diluted in a way where we don't receive its fullness. David was looking for its fullness at every turn. He was aware of his state. He knew he needed the Lord every minute of every day. And he was aware that he, the Lord, was the only one that could sustain him and provide his need. In Psalm 62:5, it says, "My soul, waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." It's from him, God. That's where my expectation comes from. Not for the things that the world can provide, not the things that are around us, but from him only. Verse 2, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." Preserve, to keep safe from harm or destruction, to defend from evil, to uphold, sustain, or protect, to save from deteriorating, to give protection from going bad. Preserve my soul, which we know the soul is our mind and our will and our emotions, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Those things, our mind, our will, and our emotions, are most influenced by what? By the world around us, whether it be through advertising, the TV, the radio, wherever it might be. It's always feeding us our mind. It's always feeding us in what we do and our emotions, playing on our emotions. So David says, "Preserve my soul." And then he says, "For I am holy. I am holy." Sounds like a bold statement, doesn't it? That he would call himself holy. But bold how? Remember who David's speaking to. This is not a "look at me, I am holy" saying, statement, but it's a boldness really in humility. Meaning if I'm praying it, Lord, I now have to reflect it. And I know it's only from you, only from you, that I could display any holiness at all. You know, it kind of made me think of the whole subject of humility. And it came to mind that in a lot of ways, the things that we think are humble are really humble toward men. But what is it that's humble toward God? You know, we think of all the things, physical things, that we do. And you know what they are. We can clean the church. You know, we could put out the refreshments. We could set the Lord's table. We could do the yard work. We could put a new heating boiler in, right? Are those things humble before God? Do they really display humility at all? I mean, those are the regular things that we do in our lives at home, right? We clean our home. Is that humility? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." In other words, his grace was not empty. I'm going to take a moment here and read a section from, actually a devotional from Oswald Chambers that really, I think, kind of spells this out. He says, "The way we continually talk about our own inability is an insult to the Creator. The deploring of our own incompetence is a slander against God for having overlooked us." He says, "Get into the habit of examining in the sight of God the things that sound humble before men, and you will be amazed at how staggeringly impertinent they are. Oh, I shouldn't like to say I am sanctified. I'm not a saint. Say that before God, and it means, 'No, Lord, it is impossible for you to save and sanctify me. There are chances I have not had, so many imperfections in my brain and body. No, Lord, it isn't possible.' That may sound wonderfully humble before men, but before God, it's an attitude of defiance. Again, the things that sound humble before God may sound the opposite before men. To say, 'Thank God, I know I am saved and sanctified,' is in the sight of God the acme of humility. It means you have so completely abandoned yourself to God that you know he is true. Never bother your head as to whether what you should say sounds humble before men or not, but always be humble before God and let him be all in all." It's interesting that when we say these things about being holy or the work that God is going to do within us that we might be closer with him are the things that God desires the most. And David knew that. "O thou my God, save thy servant." Salvation. Eternity with our Lord. Or, from what's happening around me even now. Save me from the things that are infecting me, that are keeping me from you. Save me from the things that put a wall up between you and me, Lord. Save me from the things that keeps me from getting closer to you. And trust in the Lord, that I have put my faith in you. I am coming to you because I cannot do it on my own. I know I count on you, Lord, and I need you. In verse 3, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." Mercy. Having a disposition that does not display your true justice. Don't come to me in the way I truly deserve. Being merciful. but come with mildness, tenderness, favor, compassion, and blessing. David understood what he truly deserved, but pleads with the Lord's mercy and realizes that he needs to do this every day. I can't even make it through one day, Lord, without crying out for your mercy and for your help. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, to experience great joy and gladness in a high degree. To be overwhelmed by that which pleases God and by walking in his ways. Have you ever thought what it is that brings great joy to your own soul? Have you spent any time thinking about what it is that would bring joy to your soul? You know, as I thought about this, I thought how I believe it's stress that is bound up in our soul. And it prevents many things. And one of them is joy. And David says, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? Do I lift up my soul? And again, we said mentioned before that the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. There's two other references with this same phrase, lift up my soul, that David wrote. One is Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2, says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, but let my enemies, let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. And in Psalm 143, in verse 8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. So we have this idea of lifting up our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Well, our mind is our thoughts, what we think about, those things that would entertain our minds, those things that would consume our minds. Speaks of those things that would influence us. Those things that would stick in our mind and take up residency there, that we might hold on to when we don't even want to hold on to them. It speaks of, you know, even those things that we might hear in the world, whether it be on the radio or TV. It may even be our conversations with people. And what? Those things stick in our minds. And David is saying here, I lift up my soul. I lift up my mind unto thee, Lord. Help me to cleanse my mind. Help me to put away those things that would that won't let go. Help me put away and open that space for you. Philippians 2:5, we're all familiar. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of our Lord. What was on his mind? Did you ever think about that? As he walked during his time here on this earth, his mind was on others, on his disciples, on those that he could help, on those that he can cure and heal, on those that he can give a word. His mind was on the whole world, the gospel, coming to know him. Lift up our will unto the Lord. And our will speaks to me of those things that that we want or desire to do, the things that we do. It speaks of the intents of the heart, the action we take on that which stirs us, the influence on others, by others, to take action on things. You know, I was just thinking about our will in the things that we do. Sometimes we could even not want to do something in our thinking, but then we end up doing it anyway. Our will is a powerful thing. And our will can have hold on us. And a hold that we don't even realize. Another verse that came to mind as we spoke about the will is in Matthew 26:39, where it says, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You know, in a lot of things, in a lot of ways, God can speak to us through our own will. And if we bring that before him, whatever it might be, it could be the simplest thing, it could be the most difficult thing or decision. But if we bring it before the Lord, he will show us the right path and the right way to go. If we lift it up to him. And then the third one, we lift up our emotions unto the Lord. Our feelings and attitudes towards other people. What does it take us to be moved with compassion? Or what does it take us to see others the way Jesus saw them? Or how about not getting an attitude because of what we see and still being left, say, constant the way Jesus was? A lot of times our emotions can get the best of us. They could cause us, again, to do things that we normally wouldn't do, think things that we shouldn't be thinking. Yet they're an important part of who we are. And the Lord doesn't want us emotionless. No, he wants us to have emotion, but to have it in the right vein and directed it in the right way. So we lift them up to the Lord. Say, "Help me, Lord, to understand my emotions and keep them right before you." In Romans 12 and 15, it says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep." Have compassion the way Jesus was moved with compassion. Again, thinking about others as more important than ourselves. So lifting up our souls to God is confessing who we really are to him. It's bringing before him those hidden motives, those hidden desires, those thoughts so they can be tried with the Word of God and perhaps do not belong in our minds at all. It's coming clean with our God, bringing everything into the open before him. Not that he doesn't know already, but it opens our eyes to what is pleasing and isn't pleasing to him. And then right after this, David prays in verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all those that call upon thee. For you alone are good, Lord. You are the author of good." We need to learn good from you, Lord. Ready to forgive. As we lift up our souls to God, he's ready to forgive. Probably ready to forgive quicker than we're ready to repent. And that forgiveness will help us to cease from feeling resentment. He'll grant remission of our offenses. He'll forget those things and he'll fill them with the things of God. Plenteous in mercy. God having the disposition that doesn't display true justice, as we talked, a mildness and a tenderness, a favor and compassion, of blessing, But as David prays, we need to call upon him, our Lord. He wants us to call on him that he may wipe these things clean. That we can turn from them and start walking in his path. Be quiet and still before him, and he'll reveal those things that need attention, and he'll help us with them, and he'll cleanse us from them. In verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. David says, Lord, I am telling you everything. Give your ear to it. Attend to it. I don't want anything between us. I want to be one with you, Lord. I want to have communion with you, my God, each and every day. And as I entreat you, and as I beg humbly for, you will hear me. I really need this, Lord. I know they are repetitions. Sometimes we repeat over and over again as we supplicate to the Lord. We fall into the same difficulties over and over again. That's not uncommon. But Lord, as we spill these out to God, they are not vain repetitions, but we say them earnestly, and the Lord will hear us. And as I said, he'll cleanse us from them. You know, it's our supplications that make us aware how serious we are about laying these things before the Lord. Do I really want his work done in me? Or am I just praying to pray? Hear me, Lord, and answer my prayer, as David would say. In verse 7, it says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And if we call upon the Lord when times are good, if we lift up our soul unto God when things are going all right, when we supplicate to him day after day, in the day of trouble, when we call him, he will answer us. What is your day of trouble? Have you ever thought about that? Is there trouble in every day? There may be. You know, I think that it's good for us to share the things that God does in our lives. How he helps us. How he works in us through different circumstances and things. It gives encouragement, I believe, to his people to hear that he's working. I'm going to share an account, and although it's more on the temporal side, but we probably have all had accounts similar to this. But it made an impression upon me, and it's something that I'll never forget. Happened about a year ago. I was working on a job. We were installing a new heating system, and I wasn't actually doing the physical work of the installation, but I had designed the system, and I was there at the start of the job and kind of filtered in. Job took 2 days to do, just to make sure things were going smoothly. When the job began, it's a hot water heating system, so there's water in radiators that are scattered all around the house. And the way you have to drain the system in order to remove the old boiler. And the way we do that is, you know, obviously you have a hose, you connect it at the bottom in the basement. But we'll take out from one of the radiators, a plug that will let air come in from the top. So I go up to the second floor, open up one of the plugs in the radiator, and all the water comes out, and they pumped it outside, and we're doing the job. And I stopped by at the end of the day. Things were going smoothly, but we still had another day's work. I went there the second day. Things were going along well. They were making good progress. Everything was in order. And then during the day, I'd stop out at other jobs that may be going on or maybe see other situations that need attention. I have a whole host of duties. Well, I'm on another customer's house, and I get a phone call. And so and it's the guys on the job that I was just talking about, and he says, "Hey, did you take that plug out on the second floor at the beginning of the job?" And I said, "Yeah, I did that." "Well, you better get over here right away." And if you don't know, they were refilling the system, and the plug never got replaced. And this thing is spewing water everywhere. And I mean, I could remember what it felt like when it hit me, and I was like, "Oh no!" And at the time, I mean, initially you think the house is going to be a disaster. I mean, you got an open radiator on the second floor, and it's just pouring water. And I was at that time meditating through a devotional on waiting on God. And I get in my truck, and I was probably about 5 miles away from the job, and I start driving toward the job, and I'm just praying to the Lord. I'm saying, "Lord," I says, "I don't know how or what you can do here," I says, "but save me," maybe not in these words, "save me from my day of trouble." I mean, all I could think of is that we got a house and the whole thing is a disaster. And so I finally made it to the house, and I get in, and first thing I do is I run downstairs. And see, what happened was when they turned the water on to fill the system, the workers there noticed water coming into the basement. Well, it was coming into the basement from all the way up on the second floor. And he showed me where the water was. And it really was miraculous. I mean, what happened was the water ended up going down the outside wall through the second floor, through the outside wall, through the first floor, into the basement. There wasn't any damage at all. I couldn't believe it. And I thanked God that it was only through him that this could have happened. And so we have our days of trouble. And when we're ready to call on him, he will answer us. And I know every situation maybe isn't going to be the way my situation just, you know, that I explained to you. There will be days of trouble when it's going to go the other way. But it's in God that we can get our peace and our strength. We know that he is working and wants to work in the lives of his people. And even if it's a difficult situation, he's going to see us through it. And he's going to want the one that's going to be honored and glorified through it. We walk with and we serve an awesome God, one that enjoys hearing us pray to him, but also one that wants us to listen to him as well. I thank God for this psalm that I spent a short time in studying here, for the things that the Lord has opened to my heart, and I hope that it has opened your heart to him as well. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this Psalm of David. And Lord, how he had a way of just pouring out his heart unto thee. And Lord, how you worked in his life. And Lord, how the things that you showed him, Lord, that we might have that same attitude and that same desire. Lord, that we might open ourselves before thee. Lord, that there would be nothing hidden. That you would have your way within us, Lord. That you can cleanse every part of our soul. That we would be open to lift it up to you. And Lord, that your perfect work would be accomplished. Lord, maybe be people that would say, "I am holy. and then walk in those ways. For truly, Lord, we want to be humble before thee. And we thank you that we can call you our Lord and our God. We lift up our prayers this morning. We give you our thanks and praise. It's in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.